Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wouldn't mind seeing it. We'll talk about that coming up in a couple of moments. Joe O, Sammy P. Let's start breaking down this Week 7 NFL card. We're one game underway. Got a big upset last night. 5.5 points at home. The home dog gets through an AFC North matchup with Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals. Just his second game. They're about a week. Just over a week, and look at Flacco getting it done with big numbers last night. We'll see if we get some big upsets on the card this week. First game we're going to break down here, Sam, I can't say this is a large point spread because it isn't. It is the Colts at the Chargers. The Chargers are a 1.5 point favorite, higher total, 48.5. And we've been thinking all week that the room is going to be high on one of these sides, and it might be a public dog situation.
Could be. We'll see. I do know that people love the Chargers as a small favorite, though. So I don't want to get too bullish and say that they're going to back the Colts here. I like Indy. I've been higher on them, as you know, than most. I kind of caught on after week one, maybe week two. I was fully convinced that they were good because I watched the way they ran the ball. I'm like, God, they're just beating the hell out of teams on the offensive line. Now, the competition wasn't great. And if you look at their slate, it definitely gets tougher. But teams that can run the ball and play solid defense up front, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of football games. And that's what I like about the Colts. The market in this game hasn't really budged. Westgate opened this thing up on Sunday at 1.5. And that's basically where we sit right now. It's 1.5 at BetMGM. It's 1.5 all over Vegas. There's a 2 offshore. There's also a 1 offshore, but your consensus number is unchanged for the most part. Chargers -1.5. The total hasn't moved either. The question I have with the Chargers, can they protect the quarterback? Who's healthy on the line and who's going to be the lead back? I unfortunately picked up Hassan Haskins in fantasy, not Kamani Vidal. Womp! Picked the wrong guys. I'm like, oh man.
Because
didn't Haskins play for Harbaugh in college? I'm like, oh, did he? Of course. That's
The connection.
Didn't Haskins go to Michigan? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, he was an All-American at Michigan. I connected the dots there, Joe. I thought, oh, well, Haskins, Harbaugh, boom. Nope. Vidal's
bad
the
dots.
Guy.
Bad but dots. Can,
bad dots. Bad dots, no doubt. But can Vidal do what he did last week? I have my concerns. I just don't think their running game is any good right now, and I don't think it can be trusted. That's an issue against the Colts.
Yeah, and the Dolphins' defense is trash everywhere. Pass, run, whatever. So you see why they were able to control that game, and he was able to go for 124. They got to the red zone 7 times against the Dolphins with no offensive line. I think that speaks more to the Dolphins than it does the Chargers, but you want to give Chargers their respect. McConkey had his first big game of the year. It felt like he put up 100 yards, targeted 9 times. Joe Alt, yes, that's the big question. Did not practice Wednesday, limited yesterday. So he gets upgraded. What's the word today? That's going to be a big one for me as far as attacking this game. I have Chargers question mark. You know what I mean? Like, it's not one of my favorite plays in contests where I've got to get to 7 selections ATS. They might end up making the list based on what we see in the final injury report. Maybe. And we'll see. But Colts, I was unimpressed last week. I wanted to see more against the Cardinals team that was going through a lot of drama, a lot of everything, and they have a backup quarterback. And what happens? Brissett was going up and down the field. Now you give Daniel Jones credit and Steichen too for having the game-winning touchdown drive with about 4 minutes left. But for them to be at home in that spot, I didn't love what I saw. But every time they got into the red zone, they were perfect. They're scoring touchdowns. They put up 31 points on Arizona. This is a better defense overall. We have questions about the offensive line. So that's why I'm like, question mark. If I'm doing something with this game, though, I'm teasing the Colts. I'll tease that road team past the touchdown plus 7.5.
Sure. Along with our next game, we could have a two-team teaser right there. Let's also remember this for people that don't connect dots, although I connected bad dots. I think these are good dots here. The Colts have already made this trip this year when they played the Rams in L.A. So this is already familiar for them. They've already done this trip, and that was a game that they probably, I mean, probably should have covered against the Rams, but they didn't because it was that Adonai Mitchell. Wasn't that the game? The Rams-Colts game?
The touchdown, yeah. Yep, that was it.
So they are ready for this trip. They've already done it this season. So I think there's a lot to be said about making that trip again. They're used to it. They know what to expect. They played in this building. Daniel Jones is used to the very weak home crowd. I think it's a good spot for the Colts. In a teaser, it's really strong. Up through three, up through seven. I think your nails on that one.
We knew on Monday that New England was going to be a touchdown favorite, and New England is a touchdown favorite on the road at Tennessee. It's a big narrative game. Maybe it's real. Maybe it isn't. That's for you to decide, and we'll find out. I can't wait to watch this game. Even though it's a touchdown point spread, I'm really curious what ends up happening in this one and how it's played on both sides. On the New England side, obviously, the revenge factor. Vrabel going back to face the Tennessee Titans. Now, spot-wise, I have a little bit of caution because it's a third straight road game. When you have situations in the NFL, which is a third straight road game, that third spot is always challenging. So Buffalo, they went on the road. New Orleans, they went on the road. Now they're going to Tennessee. Historically, teams in this specific spot have not done very well. Last 20 years, 16-24 and two against the spread. So on Patriots week, the Titans decide now is the time. Let's pull the plug. Let's fire Brian Callahan. He's out. Is there a bump? Is there a focus? Some sort of an upgrade? Maybe. Historically, the ATS coverage rate goes from 36% up to 48%. So we're still talking about close to a coin flip. The interim is Mike McCoy. The OC, DC, they're not changing. The guy's making the decisions with the play calls. Calvin Ridley has not been practicing this week. He's been dealing with a hamstring. I wonder if he's going to be out there. You still have Cam Ward under center. He turned the ball over a whole bunch three times against Vegas last week. And I get it. It's not just because of Patriots week. It's also, this was one of your winnable spots, and you never really had a chance to win this game against the Raiders, and the Raiders stink. The Raiders did not dominate that game. It's just how bad the Titans are. So we're sitting seven. We told everybody on Monday, there are some 6.5s. Go grab them if you plan on betting the Patriots. It is 7 across the board, Sam, total of 42.
I have still done nothing with this game. Nothing. And I don't know why. I think it's maybe because in some weird way, in 5 days we've discussed this game or texted with others about this game, I have not heard one person who thinks the Titans can win. And maybe when you just hear the same thing for 4 or 5 days, you just get a little jaded and think, oh, well, it can't be that easy because it's the NFL. I'm not going to bet Titans.
No.
Here's my question to you as somebody who has 13 survivor bullets left. How many are you using New England in?
New England is going to be the most popular pick this week. Because, yes, the Chiefs have the highest point spread, but some people have already used them or some people are saving them, depending on the kind of pool that you're in. I'm going to be using the Patriots in most of them. I'm going to use them the most. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see Vrabel and the Patriots going there and losing. We asked Nate Collins about this on Wednesday as a former NFL player. Like, is this a real thing or is this a narrative that people are just running with? It's like, no, this is going to be real. They're going to be talking about this all week. That's why I'm kind of pushing that third straight road game to the side for 1 week. Now, it might be a spot to get New England next week. It's Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland against that defense.
Yep.
That might be the spot for me, but I like the Patriots to win this game. I don't see the Titans winning. And I'm the first guy to look at fired coach bumps and, you know, focus for a week, maybe 1 week, even though you are bad. But winning and covering are a couple of different things here. The way that Drake May has been playing, man, you look at him in the first half last week against New Orleans on the road. It's been so impressive. I just don't see that changing. And now your number one weapon on offense is probably out for this game too. I just don't see it. Like Vrabel, a piece of him has been preparing for this game all year. I bet you in the summer he was looking at stuff about ways that he can get this team. He knows this roster inside and out. Yeah. I will have them. They're a great teaser leg, as you mentioned. I'll be using them in a lot of Survivor. I don't have a problem laying 7.
I think it's fair to say that the numbers guys probably think this number could be a little high, but the field guys want no part of the Titans because of all the things at play here. Vrabel going back to Nashville, wanting blood. His team's playing well. The quarterback in year two has gotten substantially better. That's the other thing. Second-year quarterbacks usually regress. They don't usually come into the season and get better week to week to week to week to week. Stroud. This might just be a historical second season for Drake May. And, you know, I wasn't sure how good he was. I'll put my hand up. I had no idea. I thought there was a possibility that he might not be good. I was wrong about that. I still don't know how good the team is. We know the schedule is easy. If you're saying Survivor, though, in a lot of your entries, that tells me a lot. So New England in a teaser, New England straight. I probably won't bet the game, but I'm definitely not betting the Titans. That much is clear on my end.
Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network. We have another London game Sunday morning when we're on the air. I'm doing BetMGM game day. You're doing You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff. Do you like it or not like it? Or I know Nick's probably going off during the game and screaming and yelling about something with it. Do you hate the Sunday games? I'm not a fan, but I know some people love the more football.
The games stink. The games themselves are horrible. Horrible.
Yes.
We're on the air. It's 13-11 Broncos with a minute to go. It's just a horrible football game. But people wake up, watch it in their pajamas. Maybe a little mimosa action, a little Bloody Mary action, gamble on the game. That's what we do in this country. So that'll kick at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. I don't want to play it. The move in this one has been the under. So the total was 47, and now it's 44.5. They've been shorting some offense. I don't think Nacua is playing. I don't think they've made an announcement in or out, but I don't expect him to play. So that changes a lot of things for the Rams, who basically give the ball to four people on offense. Yeah, I mean, they streamline. They do. They got two receivers. They got a couple running backs, and they got a tight end. Like, they're not a very deep target team. So how does that play into effect? I don't know. Last week, Nick and I decided to live parlay the Broncos to win with the Steelers to win, and it got through, but we needed heroics with quotation marks around them. I mean, it was 11-10 Jets with 5 minutes to go. And Nick's getting all hot and bothered. And I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, the game stinks. You and I have London history together. I would never put a bunch of money. Let me put it this way and put a ribbon on it. I would never have a lot of money on a London game, ever.
Nope. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't want anything to do with this game. And so you also have the favorite. I agree with you that Puka is probably not going to play. He's not been practicing this week. And what happened to that offense without him for much of that game? It's a decimated Ravens defense, and they didn't even get to 300 yards. They go 0-for-3 in the red zone. The Rams offense, I have questions. So now you're facing an improved Jaguars defense, which is they get it. They get the whole London thing. They've got it down pat, right? You would think, even with a rookie head coach, this is what you have to do. They have that information. By the way, Devin Lloyd, he's not practicing this week either. The crowd is probably going to be backing Jacksonville a little bit. I just have questions on both sides. It's lined correctly. I'm not playing the game. I'm not doing anything with it. I know people want to bet for Sunday morning, but side total, I got nothing for you. Prop-wise, okay, if you want to take Devontae, you can take a look there because I don't know where else the targets are going. Maybe you look at another Rams receiver that would be stepping up. With if Puka is out, we need that intel as well. So, but yeah, I don't have any interest in the game. It looks like it's a better game, but I don't really think there's much of a handicap. And you have one of the best players on the field. That's probably not going to be out there. All right, we continue with the National Football League breakdown. Joe O, Sammy P, this is BetSwitz.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate Collins with us every Wednesday talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they in trouble? Can they get out of this losing skid that they're on right now? Losers of their last two games. Joe O, Sammy P, this is BetSweats, BetMGM Network. We're breaking down the National Football League card for this week's number 7. We start with a big upset last night. We'll see what's in store going down this weekend. We also have a pair of really good Monday night games. The card Sunday isn't so great, but the Monday night games, really looking forward to. This could be the best game of the day. Eagles and the Vikings. So we've got the Eagles as a short road favorite. Over at BetMGM, they have it -2. You'll find plenty of 1.5s out there. So let's call it Eagles -2, low total of 44. Extra rest for Philly. They're coming off that Thursday night loss against the Giants when they were favored by 7.5 points. You know, Jalen Carter, I think, looks like he's going to play. He did not play in that loss to the Giants. He's always big. You have the Za'Darius Smith retiring story that a lot of people don't know a ton of details about. Yesterday, they upgraded Quinyon Mitchell. So it certainly looks like Philadelphia is getting healthier. When people are going to point to Za'Darius Smith and all that, overall, their defense is getting healthier, so they should be ready. The problem is the numbers have looked really bad for the Eagles. And the Vikings also, like I mentioned, extra rest for the Eagles. Well, the Vikings are coming off a bye. So you have a really smart pair of coaches in Minnesota, and they've got extra time to prepare. And this Eagles team, I don't know that this is the week that they're going to end up turning that offense around. I mean, Flores is as respected as anyone. That defense, #2 in the NFL EPA per play, #1 EPA per dropback. So I'm not sure that this is going to be some big Jalen Hurts performance. We're waiting on Saquon. When's last year Saquon going to show up? Not sure. It looks like it's going to be Carson Wentz on the field. Sam, what do you think about this game?
I can't get there with Wentz. I shouldn't. Shouldn't say I can't. I won't get there with Wentz. There we go. Had to correct myself on the fly. Not betting Wentz against this Eagles team. I expect Carter to play. You mentioned Mitchell. Look, the Eagles are just a better team, and I think you get them on the cheap. If we made this number before the season, what is it? 4? Philly 4? And yesterday I was able to lay some Philly 1. So just from a number standpoint, from a buy low standpoint, I'm there. Philly also has extra time to prepare. I know Minnesota comes off the bye, but Philly played on Thursday and got embarrassed by the Giants. So they've had to stew about that for a week and a half going into this game. You know me, too. I'm Minnesota playoff guy this year. I need them to make the playoffs, and I feel terrible about this spot, having to face a pissed-off Eagles team that needs to get right. I think it'd be better for them to go on the road, honestly, though. I think this is a really good spot for Philly, and I did find myself laying 1 yesterday.
Yep, I was going to bring up that exact point. It's tough to play there up in Minnesota. You've talked many times. You've experienced that, what it's like up there.
All game.
Right? All damn game. Shut up. But would you rather be telling the opposing fans to shut up or your own fans? Because if they're in Philadelphia, exactly, they're getting it even worse.
They're getting booed by their home fans.
Yeah, that might be a worse situation. I get it. On Wentz, I was curious, so I compared the numbers. And remember, McCarthy wasn't out there much. It's a very small sample size, but weeks one and two when McCarthy was out there, EPA per play, Minnesota, dead last, number 32. With Wentz, since week three, EPA per play, they're number 16. So the argument is they were bad with JJ and they're average with Wentz. Don't know that he's average, facing a better defense this week, but they've been average since week three when he's been out there. So maybe they're not in a big rush to get McCarthy out there. He was limited on both Wednesday and Thursday. I do wonder, big picture-wise, what is the plan here? What are we doing? Because last year we were planning for JJ, and then they didn't really like what they saw in the first couple games, and they go right to Wentz. It doesn't feel like they're rushing to get McCarthy back on the field. I don't know. I think this is a really good Vikings teaser spot. You get them to +8, low total, at home. Eagles by margin, not how they're looking right now. I'm not buying that. So I like a Vikings teaser. If you're forcing me to pick the game, I would probably go Vikings. I think they can win. If they lose three straight games and then you get extra rest and you lose, you know, a mini bye, right? At Minnesota against Carson Wentz. Oh, Paul, how loud does it get there? Season over? That's what they're going to be saying.
Sorry, had a little bit of a mishap there technically. If they lose the Carson Wentz, like the implosion will happen. Now, kind of like we talked about with the Cardinals going to Indy, and like everything's falling apart. I do kind of like the implosion reversal. Like everyone's talking implosion, and I think that's real. I think they're teetering. But I think this is a good get-right spot. I like the road spot. Look, they can't lose to Carson Wentz. They can't lose to Carson Wentz. The city will lose its mind. Carson Wentz is look, you can't lie about the numbers, like with the EPA numbers you laid out. But Wentz is going to do something really dumb that's going to, like, be a terrible turnover or clock management or just something really dumb, like throwing the ball left-handed. Wentz interception, minus 113. That's a bet.
That's cheap.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Seems cheap. So, all right, so we're heads up on this one, Joe. I got Eagles, you got Vikings.
Eagles have the Giants next week for revenge, too. You got Wentz revenge, and then we got Giants revenge right after that. And then they go to a bottom.
A lot of revenge.
They have to win this game. Have to. Man, it's going to be fun no matter what happens. Because if they win, then everybody's going to say, well, they're going to get the Giants next week. All is good. They're going to be 6-2. Before they have a couple of tough games. So it's going to be a big swing game for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, marching on, we've got the Saints marching on to Chicago. 5.5-point dog, believe that. The Bears, maybe the biggest point spread that they're going to be favored by all season long, probably will be. Bears coming off a Monday night win, so it's a short week for the Bears. And, Sam, we haven't seen this line move all week, man. Well, now it's starting to dip a little bit finally. Okay.
Oh, it got hit. Corrected. Somebody came in and bet the Saints yesterday night and also this morning. I see a lot of Vegas books, 4.5 now. Yep. BetMGM has one of the higher prices in the market at 5. There's some 5.5 offshore, but you know, a lot of times those books are just trying to write bets. Clearly they need to write some Saints bets at that point. But I see Serco, Westgate, South Point, all 4.5. Look, the reality is the Bears, while they are 3-2, let's say it how it is. They're 3-2, 3 wins, 2 losses. They're 2 plays away from being 1-4, right? Mm-hmm. I think if Matt Eberflus was the coach, they'd be 1-4. They would have found a way to not block the field goal and they would have missed the kick against Washington. Like, I really feel that way. This Ben Johnson thing, though, is real in the sense that this team thinks that they can win. And that's really good for a franchise that historically finds ways to stub its toe. But if you're following the numbers and you believe in things like plus minus and regression and all that, the Bears have a winning record, but the Bears have a minus 15 point. So that's just sort of the truth of the matter. That's not a take. That's a stat. 3-2, minus 15. Well, they got blown out by the Lions. Well, yeah, you want us to just erase that game from our memory? I hate when people do that. Well, if you take the Lions game out, it's not that bad. Okay, so we're just going to take out all the bad things and keep all the good things. We have to paint the whole picture. The reality is also the Bears are bad against the run. So if the Saints in the rain can get that run game going and open up play action, this could be a one-score game. I got a buddy, Sweet Lips, who goes to every game. He goes, I would never lay 5.5 here. He's a huge Bears fan. He goes to every single game. Paul's met him. He's been at the tailgates. He goes, I would never lay 5.5. And I go, good, because it's 4.5. And he said, well, that makes sense. He goes, this is a bad spot for us.
Yep.
One man's opinion, I guess. But I would not be laying the points. I took 5.5. And in the contest, in our Chicago contest, our number is 5. I have that popped in as one of my 5.
Well, the spot is 3 straight wins. Now you're going home after back-to-back road wins. Call them lucky, whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. Back-to-back road wins, you go home, and this is what the old Vegas guys would call a sandwich spot, right? Up next, going to Baltimore, probably Lamar's return. Everything on the line. The division there for him. Pittsburgh loses last night, right? The idea was, they're going to win the division easily. No, they lost Cincinnati last night. And then you go to Cincinnati, and now it's not Jake Browning, it's Joe Flacco slinging it 50 times. Oh, does the season turn here? I don't know. Maybe. Are they going to win 4 straight games? I would bet against that. I'll just put it this way. This is one of the higher point spreads of the week. Bears will have 0 of my survivor plays, and I have a number of entries.
None.
0. Go ahead, take them. I know they're going to be taken by people. People are going to say,
hater.
it's the only time to take the Bears. Fine. Could be your only time to take an L, and then you're eliminated. So I'm not interested in doing this. Saints have a good run defense. Swift was a monster. I would be surprised if he backs up Monday's performance. Does that again against the Saints rushing defense. Raiders have a good rushing defense. Did nothing against them. Okay? This matchup, I'd be shocked if that were to happen again. I'm on the Saints in this one. Now I'm thinking twice, like, you've got to act now. This thing could get to 4. It wouldn't surprise me if we get there. 4, 3.5, somewhere in that range by Sunday morning. That makes more sense.
Nope.
That's what the line should be, probably.
Yeah, I think it should be 3.5, 4. So if you take the 4.5, 5, now BetMGM still has a 5. It's a little pricey on the dog side. You got to lay $1.15. But could this not just be 24-20, 21-17 final, Bears win, Saints cover? I don't think the back door is ever going to slam shut. I guess I shouldn't say ever, but I don't feel like the Bears are going to blow them out. And Paul brought up – go ahead, Paul. Bring up the revenge angle here on the Saints. Go for it.
So I don't know if many people know about this. I didn't until I saw the headline, but I guess Spencer Rattler got benched for Caleb Williams at Oklahoma before Rattler then went to South Carolina. And then Caleb went to USC, and this was like 7 years ago. So there's that.
Crazy. Crazy. Rattler's not awful. I'll say that. A lot of weeks I'm expecting him to be terrible for the Saints. He hasn't been bad. I'm not saying he's good. He just hasn't been as bad as people were expecting. All right, we were just talking about the Commanders-Bears game from Monday night. Well, you've got the Commanders as a short road favorite. Going to Dallas. Interesting line in this divisional matchup. Washington -2 at BetMGM. Oh, hold on. This total's 55, Sam.
A lot of points for a really good quarterback with a bunch of weapons. I think CeeDee Lamb's coming back too for Dallas. That's sort of the rumor around the bend. So you get Lamb on one end, Pickens on the other, Dak at home on the turf, fast track. Indoors, we get points here. I don't know that I'd love to bet over 55 when I could have gone over 52 and 52.5 and 53. You're definitely late to the over party. Not that it can't win. Dallas in a teaser, 1.5 to 7.5. Talk me off that one.
I can't. I guess the only thing I could come up with is, do you like to tease big total games, shootouts, because it opens the door for one team winning by double digits. But I get it. So Terry McLaurin was downgraded yesterday.
To return, it says. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. McLaurin downgraded, non-participant in Thursday's practice. That's not good. Tells me he's not playing. Why is Washington favored in this game?
Because the Bears are elite? Question mark.
Okay. And the Bears killed Dallas, right? Yeah, you could play that game. Yeah, they have no defense. I don't think McLaurin's playing. I don't love the spot for Washington. They do need it. They don't want to fall to 3-4 on the season. Which team has the better quarterback right now? I think people would jump up and say Daniels. I don't know that that's the case the way that Dak's playing this year.
Well, Dak's weapons are healthier. I mean, if Daniels has to go again without McLaurin and Noah Brown, it's not really a fair fight in terms of comparing the two.
Yeah. Yeah, I lean to the Dallas side. I like them as a dog. I think they could easily win this game. So, coming off the loss at Carolina, maybe you're getting a little bit of value there. That could explain it. Joe O, Sammy P, we continue breaking down this NFL card. Kelly in Vegas, top of the hour on the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Brinson with us earlier this week. He joins us every Tuesday of CBS Sports. Joe O, Sammy P. This is Bet Sweats, Bet MGM Network. 20 minutes from now, Kelly in Vegas will have her favorite college football plays of the weekend. We'll find out what she's doing with Survivor. Will she be going Patriots or elsewhere on the board? Very curious. Maybe she'll land on some Bears. We would suggest not doing that. All right, let's continue to break these down. Will, you heard his clip on the 49ers. He's looking at it being a good spot to take San Francisco at home, coming off of last week's loss at Tampa Bay. So it's Atlanta at San Francisco, Sunday night football. I don't know that it's going to be a great game. You have to start with the injury stuff with San Francisco. In the clip, he talked about Kittle. He has been limited this week. Both Wednesday and Thursday, he was limited to return. Brock Purdy, limited this week on Wednesday and Thursday. So that's big. But the biggest for me, Sam, Fred Warner, already missing Bosa. Now you're missing Warner for the rest of the season. We have not seen this defense any year without both of them. And here you go, Saleh. Go make your hay. Go make your money. See what you can do against Bijan Robinson, Drake London and company.
Historically, we know the Falcons can't have nice things. We know that, especially in prime time. Maybe that's not fair, but that's the truth. Let's dial up Ian McMillan and ask him how many times he's bet the Falcons in prime time, and they've broken his heart. I also think, obviously, the Niners are not healthy, but Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Sky Moore, Jordan Watkins all practiced. Purdy practiced, although we probably see Mac Jones. I think it's better than they were hoping. But the elephant in the room is that they're just still very, very shorthanded, especially on defense. The market, too, in this game, we were sitting 3 early in the week. There's a lot of 1.5. There's a 1 at Dave Mason's book offshore. So We have seen clearly some support for the Atlanta Falcons plus the points. Now, how much further does it run? I don't know. I imagine there would eventually be a pushback on San Fran at a cheap 1. Or a cheap money line price, because it is Sunday night in San Francisco. The building will be juiced up. They can win. Of course they could win. And you're talking about a Falcons team that now everybody probably wants to bet after not many wanted to bet against Buffalo. So when you string that accordion out, oh, everybody wanted to bet Buffalo, Buffalo spread, Buffalo money line, Buffalo this, Buffalo that. And then the Falcons beat Buffalo. Oh, now the Falcons are good. Oh, and I'm getting points? Pow. And then the Niners win, and you've lost 2 games with the Falcons because you kind of flipped on the whole verdict. So I don't know. I would probably take San Fran minus one if it got there, have done nothing with the game, didn't do anything in contests.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I haven't done anything with the game. I'm not going to pick them in contests, even ones where I have to pick a handful of games. Checking Kendrick Bourne props. They're not even posting them. So that tells me that the number is different between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. Mac Jones, Bourne is his guy. Brock Purdy? I don't really know. I can't sit here on Friday morning and tell you that you've got to take San Francisco or Atlanta when I don't know who the quarterback is for the Niners. I don't know if Kittle's going to be out there, one of the better tight ends in the game. He'd be a main weapon for the San Francisco offense. And I don't know what it looks like without both Bosa and Warner. It might be a dumpster fire defensively without the captain. You got to peek at it in the second half of last week's game. How'd Tampa do? 30 points. Doesn't have his weapons. Baker put up 30. I'm staying away from this game. I just want to watch more, and I'm leaning this way. I'm not there completely, but keeping a close eye on this Falcons defense. The numbers like them a lot. EPA per play, they're fifth. EPA per dropback, they're top five as well. So how real is this defense? If the defense is real, we know what they have with their weapons, right? Penix, you have your questions. Expect him to make strides during the year, and you have an elite running back and a top-notch wide receiver. If they have the defense, they have a lot of pieces in a down NFC. Don't know that they're going to catch the Bucs in the division, but maybe they can make some noise here. So I'll be on the sideline on this one like you, Sam. I'm curious what they put Bourne at, because Bourne had another monster game with Mac Jones, but we also need to know who the quarterback is in this spot. Also have nothing on that. All right, Packers, Cardinals. This number has stayed just under a touchdown, sitting at 6.5. Not quite getting to a touchdown, but just underneath. Packers, 6.5-point road favorites, total 45. Packers at Cardinals. And we're not sure about the quarterback situation because Kyler has been limited this week. And off the concussion, Marvin Harrison Jr. also limited for Arizona.
I love the Cardinals in this dog roll, though. I really do. Talked about it last week. When they're favored by 5.5, 6, 7, I want to run for the hills. When they're catching around a touchdown, you know, I could get there. I like Brissett, though. I've said this. I've talked about this. I like them more with Brissett. So if you tell me Kyler's playing, I probably stay off of it. Is that weird that I'm more Brissett than Kyler?
Not at all. No, but like the numbers would say that Kyler's the better guy. And I think we know he has a bigger ceiling. But don't we want the higher floor if you're getting 6.5? I don't need the crazy high ceiling because the bottom could drop out as well. I would rather have the higher floor. And that's what you're going to get with Brissett. And I'm fine with that.
I need the vet catching points. Yeah. That's why we did Flacco last night. Look at Flacco catching points. I was never taking Browning catching points if that was the case. Not that Flacco equals Brissett or vice versa. But if Jacoby Brissett's playing and I could take a 6.5, I'm interested.
Even against an elite defense? That's what I heard after two games, that the Packers were elite. Elite defense.
No.
I don't know. They're not popping that way right now. And they have two takeaways all year. Only one team has less. It's the Jets. So they need to start forcing those takeaways a little bit. I know they can be fluky, but they're going to need to do it if they want to get back to being viewed as a strong defense in this league. 6.5, you're right. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. And the Cardinals gave us more fight than I was expecting last week at the Indianapolis Colts. So there's that. What about Tampa Bay and Detroit? This is going to be a good one, man. We get Baker without many of his weapons against the Lions. And this is one of two Monday night games. So we've got the Lions, a heavy favorite. So Baker as a dog, that's a role that he's thrived in, especially in Tampa Bay. The number has not moved much. It's mostly 5.5s, but you see Pinnacle at 6, Sam. Detroit money coming in. High total, 52 in the hook. Are you doing anything with this game?
I would love to get there on Tampa. I just saw yesterday a very bad injury report, and I sent it your way. Godwin, Bucky Irving, Emeka all did not practice on Thursday.
Yep.
So we're doing the Tez Johnson thing again on the road in Detroit. Tampa, though, when healthy, did win this game last year. Remember, Tampa went into Detroit and Baker went crazy in the second half. Now, he had a lot more weapons at his disposal. I would think you get a nice Detroit bounce back. I'm going to guess the Bucs will have more than one penalty, too. You know, Murray brought that up yesterday, too, on the Chiefs. You know, no penalties. Ooh. I would love to bet Tampa. To me, it's Tampa or pass, and it's a pass for me.
I'm going to end up with the Lions. There's no doubt. But I don't want to lay six. I want to jump on it at 5.5. But, yeah, this is the spot. And I know you don't want to lay big points with going against Baker. I get it. And guess what? The odds makers know that as well, that you don't want to do that. When we visit the room, it might be Baker just hanging out by himself. Even though this game isn't until Monday, they might love Baker Mayfield so much that they're jumping on the dog in this spot. So Baker as a dog with the Bucs, done very well, cashing a lot of tickets, 16-8 against the spread. But this specific spot, Lions coming off that loss against Kansas City at home, Baker missing everybody. Evans expected to be back. He was limited too. So let's see what that injury report looks like on Saturday for the final injury report, since it's a Monday game. But we know what Goff is as a favorite. Dan Campbell is a favorite at home. This is a really good spot for Detroit. So I like them there. Houston, Seattle, the other Monday night game. Also a pretty good one here, Sam. And we've got Seattle -3 over at BetMGM, but it's a juiced 3. It looks like we're heading to 3.5 at a lot of respected books out there. Low total, it's only 41 points. Seattle, a short favorite. This is it's a pretty good one with two strong defenses.
Remember when you and I played the game of guess our favorite NFC sleeper, and I wrote it down in red marker, and you said Seattle, and I showed Seattle, and then we looked at the price to win the NFC, and it was 30-1, and I didn't bet it. I don't know that you did.
Did not.
Now it's 15-1, 15-1, 12-1. I hate myself every day for many reasons. But a lot to do with the fact that we didn't jump in. We both got there at the same time. A symbiotic moment for the show. Idiots. And I did not bet the 30-1 NFC.
But aren't you more confident now than that day when you wrote them down?
Of course, of course. But when you miss the 30, it's hard to take the 15. You know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, because I've been thinking about the same thing. Now the 30 is like 30 for the Super Bowl. So that's a big change. But I still like them. I like them a lot. JSN has been a monster, leads the NFL in receiving yards. Sam Darnold has not faded. Been awesome. They were strong against Jacksonville last week. Do you have a play in this game? We're heading to 3.5.
I lean under 41. 41 and a half you can find. Actually,
yep. Texans have been a big under team this year too, 4-1 to the under. We'll have a full breakdown of both of these games on Monday night. Kelly in Vegas on the other side. We'll talk college and a little NFL with Kelly. And where's the room next hour too? All coming up here on Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.